The king's affectionate answer. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Song of Solomon 1, verse 15. The king had before called her the fairest among women, and now he emphasizes his estimation of her beauty. By dove's eyes, he means that she has a keen, far-seeing vision. Because of their keen sight, carrier pigeons, pigeon messengers, are used to carry letters across the land. They have been employed thus to bear messages from France to England. My father had secured a dove from my uncle Emmanuel, who lived 10 miles away. He brought it home in a tin lantern. One day, Miss Dove was missed. Later, we learned that she had returned to my uncle's home. That dove had ascended straight up into the heavens till she scented or saw the direction of her home and went thither speedily. Jesus calls his bride by many sweet, tender titles, but the Holy Spirit can address us by them only as fast and far as we are able to appreciate and understand them. Hitherto, the king addressed the Shulamite only as my love, naming only two descriptive statements of fair and dove's eyes. She had called herself black or sunburnt because of exposure in service, but he called her fair. No matter what others think of us, what we think of ourselves, or how we appear because of keeping vineyards, oh, how cheering it is to have our loving Lord say to our bleeding hearts, "Thou art fair." Oh, if only we look fair to the searching eyes of our Lord, it does not matter how unfair we appear to onlookers. They are only onlookers, not through-lookers. God be praised. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Hallelujah. What are dove's eyes? The first symbol of the Holy Spirit in Scripture is that of a dove. In Genesis 1, verse 2, we read that the Spirit brooded as a dove over the waters. In Genesis 8, verse 8, we read that Noah sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from the face of the ground. In Luke 3, 22, we learn that when Jesus came up from his baptism in Jordan, that the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Now, wondrously, when we receive the Holy Spirit and become actually filled with him, practically walk in him, and constantly yield to him, we truly have doves or Holy Spirit eyes. Like the dove, whose eyes are modest, tender, searching, far-seeing, and safe-guiding, so with the Spirit-filled believer, he sees as God sees. O glorious truth! And our heavenly Bridegroom delights in us when we, by faith through the Spirit and the Word, ascend up into the presence of the Father and get the direction of his wondrous movements and move rapidly on therewith. Mary had dove's eyes when she anointed her Master for his burying. She understood something of his sufferings to which others were strangers. Paul had dove's eyes in beholding the revelation of the mystery hid from ages, but revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. If we would behold the wonders of grace and enjoy the riches thereof today, we must needs have dove's eyes. What impresses me here is this, that the king compliments his love with having dove's eyes. It charms our coming king to observe that we dare to take the Holy Spirit to be what he purports to be, the sevenfold Spirit of the Lord. Isaiah 11 verses 1 and 2. The seven eyes of the Lord. Revelation 5 verse 6. God delights greatly in those who really count on the Holy Spirit guiding them into all the truth, and who are not satisfied with what someone else has told them or discovered in the Bible, but who have an insatiable hunger to know all that it is their privilege to know for their happiness and usefulness and for God's glory. Reader, do you seek to be one of them? The Shulamite's loving response. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar and our rafters of fir. Song of Solomon 1 verse 16. Of course she sees more in him than he does in her. He is not only fair, but pleasant. We see infinitely more in Christ than we think he can ever see in us. Yet he declares, as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. The time is coming when he shall be glorified in us, and we shall be glorified in him. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 12. Our bed is green. This speaks of resurrection fruitfulness. In springtime, look out upon a vast field of green. There has been a resurrection from the cold, bleak, freezing winter. Life has come out of death, followed by growth, freshness, and fruitfulness. Our mutual devotion with our heavenly bridegroom is not simply productive of pleasure, but of evergreen, ever-growing profit. Being risen in the likeness of his resurrection, we walk in newness of life. We bring forth fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Romans 6, verses 4 and 22. Finally, in Christ, all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians 2:21, being constructed with strong beams of cedar and great rafters of fir or cypress. The bride speaks of the bridegroom's house as if it were her own as well as his. And so it is. All are yours in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:22. The way of the sea. Oh, the way of the sea is the pathway for me, for it leads to the promised land. And the captain said, Go, I will make Egypt know all the power of mine own right hand. It was dense, darkest night when I first caught a sight of the pillar of cloud and fire, and I followed the light that was shining so bright to the land of the harp and lyre. Pharaoh's host coming fast, but the danger was past when the leader his rod lift up, so the way through the sea was made open for me, for another has drunk my cup. On the Christ was the rod, and I journeyed dry-shod through the waters divided for me. Hence I stand on the brink, living waters I drink, for the fruit of the land is free. Mary M. Bodie.